It's good to be back, and I hope you enjoyed a couple of those videos that I showed Pastor Bob Wade. He kind of followed along the same book that we're going through, and I found him to be very a good speaker, and I enjoyed those messages as well, so I'm hoping that you did as well. Happy Super Bowl Sunday for those of you who are sports fans.
Do we know if the groundhog saw its shadow today?
Yeah, I don't know. And if you're like me, you probably don't really care about who wins the Super Bowl, but there are some good commercials. So if you have to watch football on Sunday, you can watch for the commercials. Yes, and it's Groundhog Day today too. And who knows if the groundhog saw his shadow. It was a little bit chilly this morning, so I feel like we might not be through the winter yet.
I know we're not through the winter.
I'm hoping we're through the winter. But...
I got down my driveway today without help.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it's icy out there. Please be careful in our parking lot as well. That should have been part of the announcements. Before we get started, I just wanted to be able to pray together. I was given a prayer card this morning. And for those of you who have prayer requests, please fill these out because it's very helpful for me. I know that lots of times that there's lots of things that we want to be praying for, but I don't always remember when you come to me in the morning and ask me to pray for something. And I'm sorry, but if you give me one of these sheets, I can remember a lot easier. And then also we're able to continue to pray for these things. But I was given one this morning, and it was given to me by Jason and one of his friends who he plays music with. His wife was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And she's been moved from Ashcroft Hospital to Kamloops Hospital, and they're not giving her very much more time. And so her name is Andrea, and her husband's name is Larry. And so today I thought we could just pray for them. Andrea is a believer, and Larry is...
I'm not sure where he stands.
We're not sure where Larry stands. So we need to be praying for Larry and Andrea at this time. So, and then there's also a few people who are missing. Monica's not feeling very well. Isabel's not feeling... There's a few people who are sick. So we're just going to... We're going to pray for those things this morning and forget jumping into the Word. And so let's pray together. So Father God, right now, Lord, we thank you that we can come before you, that you are a sovereign God, that you hear our pleas. And this morning we're calling out to you for Larry and Andrea, Lord, as they go through this difficult time, Father God. I just pray, Lord, that they'd sense your presence around them as they... enjoy these last times together, Father. We ask that you comfort them, Father. And if it's your will to heal Andrea for your name and for your glory, then we ask that that be done too, Father God. And we pray for Larry, Lord. And we hope, Father, that through this he would see the truth of Jesus Christ. And that in you, Jesus alone, we can find our hope. And so, Father, I pray for them this morning, Lord. I pray for those who are missing, for Monica, for Isabel, for Marion. Father, for Mike, Lord, for all those who aren't here with us this morning for different reasons, Father God, we just want to lift them up to you as well. And we pray that you would be that you'd be with them and they would sense your presence in their lives too. And so, Father, as we come before you and as we look at your word, I ask by your Holy Spirit that you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear you. Father, that we would see truth, the truth that you've preserved for us in your scriptures, Lord. And so we rely on you this morning, Father God. Make this day about you. Make this time about you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can flip open to Acts chapter 14. You know, and we've been talking a lot about the Great Commission and the command to go and make disciples, go to the ends of the earth to make disciples, going to the people who might not want to hear the message the most and making disciples. And in these last few chapters, we've seen how the apostles and how the disciples in the first generation church start to do this, how they start to go out into those other areas that are maybe not Jewish, predominantly Jewish areas, and they're starting to share the message, the good news of Jesus Christ with people who are Gentiles. And Barnabas and Saul, who becomes Paul, they're going to take this message to the ends of the earth. They become sort of the main focus in these last few chapters. And as they travel on their mission, as they travel through these different regions, the author of the book of Acts really captures how they handle themselves when they're faced with different trials, different challenges, different issues. He lays out how they react to these things and how they continue to pursue that goal of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, in chapter 13 at Cyprus, they run into this sorcerer, this false prophet, and they're sharing the gospel with the proconsul there, and this guy's trying to dissuade him, and Paul blatantly says, you know, you are a child of the devil, full of deceit. And then he tells this guy, you know, you're going to lose your sight. Tells this guy, you know, what you are doing is evil. You're going to lose your sight. And this sorcerer is blinded by the Lord. This guy whose desire is to keep all the focus on himself and away from the Lord, now he's been challenged with the truth of Jesus Christ. And Paul in boldness speaks to him. And there's times when we as Christians are going to be given this task of standing up for our faith. When people are trying to spread all kind of non-truths, there's going to be a time when we have to say, hang on a second, that's not truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that we go around and we start saying, you know, you're going to be blinded. I don't think that that's our best tactic. But I do think that the example of Paul here is that when we're confronted with non-truth, there's a time when we have to take the stand in boldness and say, you know what, I'm going to stand for truth. I'm not going to listen to the lies of the world or the lies that the world wants to tell me anymore, because I know the truth and it's found in Jesus Christ alone. We need to stand up for our faith, Then they travel to Pamphylia and they enter the synagogue, and after the leaders read the law and the prophets, they ask Paul and Barnabas if they want to share anything. And Paul gets up, and from the time the Israelites were in Egypt to the judges, to the prophets, all the way through their history, he gives them a history lesson on how their entire history points to one man, and that man is Jesus Christ. And every time that Paul presents the gospel in these situations, it demands a choice. Do I choose the truth, or do I choose to live the way that I've always lived, the comfortable way, and just keep on doing what I'm doing? And the example here is that when we're given a chance to share Jesus Christ, we want to take that opportunity. And we exercise our ability, we exercise wisdom when we're sharing Jesus. When's the right time? When we're given a chance to share him, is the right time? Because when Paul and Barnabas took their opportunities, many people came to know the Lord. Many people became disciples. Many people's lives were changed. There's so many people around us today who are looking, who are searching for truth. There are so many people who are hurting that want to know who Jesus is. There are so many people who need to hear the gospel message, and sometimes we're afraid to share the truth. And even scripture challenges us, you know, how much do we love people if we're not willing to share the truth? You know, I had this opportunity. I had to take my dad has cancer in his mouth, and I had to take him down to Vancouver Hospital last week and a bit ago, anyway. And, you know, I was asking God, you know, give me opportunity to share with him the truth. He knows where I stand. He's been to the church a few times and heard me speak a couple of times. He knows where I stand. But we never have had this real in-depth conversation about the Lord. And I was never really given an opportunity on this trip, but we were given a chance. And I just asked him, you know, like, do you believe in God? And he said, yeah. He said, I don't believe in going to church all the time. I said, well, neither do I, but I kind of have to. I said to him, okay, well, then do you believe in Jesus Christ? And he said, yeah. And then he kind of abruptly changed the subject. But it was an open door to begin a conversation with him. And when we're given those opportunities, we have to take them. You know, what better opportunity for me than to have to spend 4 hours down to the coast and 4 hours back with my dad when he's receiving not the greatest news about what he's going to have to go through to treat his cancer. It's a pretty good time to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ, or to start to share it. So when we're given that opportunity, there's so many people who want to hear it. There's so many people who need to hear it. Maybe they don't want to hear it, but they need to hear it. There's so many people looking for the answers in all the wrong places. And when we're given the opportunity, we need to take it, to share. And we need to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And of course, they get kicked out of Pamphylia. And in chapter 14, we find them in Iconium. And they enter the synagogue. And the Bible says that a great number of Gentiles believe. They enter and they start speaking the truth of Jesus Christ, and a great number of people come to believe. But this city again is divided. They find out that people on the other side want to stone Paul and Barnabas. They want to kill them, literally kill them for this message that they're sharing. So they flee into Lystra. And they come across this guy who has been lame for his entire life. For his entire life, he's been lame. And Paul is speaking to the crowd. He's sharing the same message over and over as he goes everywhere. He's preaching the gospel. He's preaching the truth of Jesus Christ. And he sees this guy who's been lame forever. And he sees that he has faith to be healed. And he says mid-speech as he's preaching, he stops mid-speech and he says, you know, stand up, get up. And this guy jumps up. This guy jumps up to his feet. And remember, we've talked a lot about how the Lord desires an intimate relationship with us. The Lord desires to walk really closely with us. He desires that you and I actually speak with him as we walk through our day. Ask him where he wants to lead us and guide us, how he wants us to act in certain situations, what he wants us to say to people. He wants to have that relationship. And I think to myself when I see this, how close must Paul have been walking with the Lord that he would hear mid-sermon that the Lord wanted to heal this guy. I think about the relationship that Paul must have had with the Lord, that he would have the faith to say, get up and be healed right now. Not even to take the time, and Bob Wade kind of touched on this, not even to take the time to pray about this. Lord, is this something that you want to do? No, he heard the Lord's voice, and he said to the guy, get up, be healed. Right now, his relationship with that guy was so tight that he heard his voice, and in an instant, somebody's life was changed. Person's life was changed. And I wonder sometimes if we would walk in this type of relationship, what type of amazing things we might see as well. God is always working. God is always moving. God is always doing something. And I think that sometimes it's our ignorance that makes us miss out on some of those things. We want to be walking in that close relationship with him so that we could see the amazing things that God is doing. And of course, when the people in the crowd see this, when the people in the crowd see this man who has been lame since birth, and they see how Paul just speaks into his life, this guy's life has changed. Of course, they're amazed. They're amazed. And they actually think that Paul and Barnabas are gods themselves, and they start sacrificing, and they start, talking about how these guys are Zeus and Hermes. And Paul and Barnabas, they try to stop them. You know, they said, we're only humans. We're just like you. This is God. This is God's work. But they had difficulty, Scripture says, keeping these people from sacrificing to them. Even when they said these things, they had difficulty keeping these people from sacrificing to them. And Paul and Barnabas had the faith to hear God's voice and to heal a man. And then they were humble enough to not take credit for it. See, everything that we accomplish for the Lord is because of the Lord. We cannot do anything on our own, and it's only by God's grace that we can serve him. We can't do anything on our own, but only God can save, heal, provide. God is our source and our strength. And we are instruments. We are instruments of God to help God accomplish his mission. He invites us in to be part of his mission, to bring the world back to himself. He invites us to be part of that, and that's a great honor and an amazing blessing that we would even be able to be considered instruments of God. But only God can save, and only God can heal, and only through God can we see things changed. When people look at me, I want people to see Jesus. And I think that our attitude has to be, When somebody sees us, when somebody sees what our church is doing, when we do something to help somebody out, that we point them to Jesus. That when they look at us, they see Jesus walking, being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. The Casting Crowns have a song out. It's called Only Jesus. And the words say, I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. I've got one life to live. I'll let every second point to him. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Amen. And that is where we left off last week. So as we continue through Acts chapter 14 into verse 19, we read this. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. And what did Paul do? What did Paul do in this city? He came in, he shared the good news of Jesus Christ. He healed a man who's been lame for his whole life. And then when everybody tried to give him everything and sacrifice to him and treat him as a god, he said, please don't. Keep your stuff. Sacrifice to the one true God. He said, turn away from these worthless things and turn towards the living God. He pointed people, he took all the spotlight that was on himself and pointed people towards Jesus. And for that, he was stoned and drug out and left for dead for the message of Jesus Christ. He was stoned to the point where people thought, they thought he was dead. Verse 20, but after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. He did what? So he's been stoned to the point where they think he's dead. The disciples gather around him, and he gets up and he goes back to the same people that just tried to kill him. Most of us would spend days in the hospital recovering from this. Maybe months. He gets up and he goes right back to work. Goes right back to what God had called him to in the first place. So that he could later declare to the disciples in all the places where he had preached that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 22, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And why? Why do we have to go through many hardships? Why? It doesn't make sense. But God wants us to rely on him. Not only in the good times, but in the bad times as well. There's a popular verse, we hear it all the time, James 1, verse 2, consider it pure joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And this is the thing, is that perseverance is important. You know, like, there's so many people that they go back and forth. One second we love God and we're on this high and we're worshiping him and we're praying to him and we're relying on him to sustain us. And then the next minute we're over here and we're over here and we're kind of like, I can do it on my own. I don't really need him. Maybe we still believe all the time, but persevering to the end is important. Going through testing of our faith is important. That we strengthen our faith in the Lord. It's easy. It's easy to love God when everything is good and comfortable. It's easy to love God and it's easy to follow him. And it's easy to say, I love you, Lord. But then when things are going tough and when things aren't as easy, when things are hurting and when things are troublesome and when things are just to the point where you don't know what to do, then it's hard to rely on God. Or we turn our backs on him. And I wonder why. How many will be faithful when we are tested? When things go wrong, how many of us are willing to be tested, to persevere, to walk through? We're going to come before the Lord's table today and reflect on it. Maybe I'll invite Jay to come back up this song for us. while we pass out, and I'll invite the ushers up to pass out the emblems as well. But as we look at the example that Paul and Barnabas set out, as we look at the example that it was so important for them to go and spread the good news, that they were willing to die for people to hear who Jesus is. They were willing to be stoned, be beaten, be shipwrecked, be homeless. And it makes me ask the question of myself, what am I willing to do to hear people come to know Jesus, to see people come to know Jesus? What am I willing to give? What am I willing to sacrifice? As we take the emblems, I'm just going to pray. And I just ask that you hold on to your emblems and we'll partake of them together. So Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the example set out before us. God, I pray that we'd have boldness to speak truth. Lord, I pray that we would take the opportunities given to us to share the gospel. And Lord, I pray that we would see the importance and we'd be willing to give of ourselves to see people hear your voice. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray for the bread. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you because you are the ultimate example of obedience. When God called you to the toughest task to sacrifice yourself for the forgiveness of sins, you took your body and you laid it on the line so that we could be forgiven. And so we want to remember that sacrifice this morning, Lord, and we say thank you. We say thank you for your body, which has been broken for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go take a break together. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, Jesus, we want to give you thanks for your blood that washes us white as snow. We thank you for the new covenant, that we can call upon your name, Jesus, for the forgiveness. We didn't deserve it, but because you loved us, you gave yourself for us. So we remember that sacrifice again this morning. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Let's partake. Well, we want to give anybody who would ask for prayer, we want to give you the opportunity this morning to receive prayer. If you want to visit, we just ask that you go into the fellowship room and visit. And we just invite you to stay for a time of fellowship afterwards. There should be coffee and stuff back there. So let me pray for you as you go. And if anybody wishes to have prayer, please, we want to pray with you. So again, Jesus, we want to give you thanks. Because you're an awesome God. And because you loved us so much that you sacrificed yourself for us. And now, Lord, we want to ask for your help to help us live for you. And live for the good news that you've brought. We want to see people, Lord, come to know you. We want to see people come to know the truth of your word. And so we give you all the glory today. You are worthy, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
She started to sing, you know. Do you want this on?
Yeah, okay. Thank you.